My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I've got a banger of a Kevin Herter stat for you coming up.
Ooh.
I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. We're taking you right up to noon here on the Insiders before we hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you up to 4 o'clock. The Sacramento Kings facing the Phoenix Suns tonight. We will dig into that game a little bit later on. We have already done our first Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for Sunday's game. That was Kevin Herter. ESPN1320.com. Click on the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. It's front and center. Enter the code word HEADBAND for your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and your chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey.
Entered into a contest to win a monthly giveaway of a Sacramento Kings jersey. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, man.
I think we've got some good ones too.
We do.
Yeah. I want to see them before
pump them up too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see which ones we got.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah.
A lot of JaVale McGee's, I heard. They put me in charge of ordering them. It's JaVale McGee, Colby Jones,
JTA,
Juan Toscano-Anderson. That's not what happened. That's not what happened.
And we did not get the potentially getting traded jerseys.
No.
We didn't go that way.
Yeah, no.
That's
we did not. So we'll be giving away a Kings jersey a month the rest of the way.
That's right.
Do you want to do our second one right now?
Yeah, that's fine.
From Friday's game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Keegan Murray on Friday. Not a ton to pick from, but Keegan had a pretty good game. He had a couple of blocks. He had 8 rebounds. And he had 15 points. He had a steal in there, a couple assists. So pretty good night overall for Keegan on a night where the Kings did not look very good. The code word there, same place, ESPN1320.com, Jiffy Lube Fast Break, Player of the Game, contest page. Enter the code word Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, code word Murray, for your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and your chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey.
Hmm.
Murray.
Murray.
Murray and headband. You can enter twice. You do one of each, and you will be entered twice to win that gift certificate and that jersey.
Here in the chat, Polo L, any Quincy AC jerseys, a Travis Outlaw jersey perhaps? No.
No,
although
they left those out.
I did cover both of those guys. I had Quincy AC twice.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Outlaw, I think, for a season and a half.
This time of year, you're kind of hoping that it's Quincy Heater, though, am I right?
Okay. Yeah. Don't be an outlaw there.
Instead of Quincy
AC.
Well,
Quincy AC was a good dude, and he always had his son with him. Like, his son was with him in the locker room all the time. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice dude.
Good.
So was Travis Outlaw. Travis Outlaw, like, super, super quiet. Very, very quiet. Hmm. What do they call him? I want to say they call him Sippy Boy. That's his nickname.
If somebody calls me Sippy Boy, we're fighting.
But I think that's his nickname. So
it's his, like, from his friends or his family.
Yeah. Like, whatever it is, like, that's, yeah.
Okay. So,
anyway, he was
that's the kind of thing. If somebody around here that I was not like a lifelong friend or a family member or something, call me Sippy Boy. We got a little problem.
Yeah. He was really good before he got to the Kings. When he got to the Kings, he went from being like a really solid, super athletic six man that could score on anybody to what happens to almost every free agent that's ever signed in Sacramento. They trip over like a squirrel coming into the building and forget how to play basketball. I covered a lot of free agents that's exactly what happened.
Yikes. Like,
they just forgot how to play.
Did you say trip over a squirrel?
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Please explain.
I'm just saying that, like, every time it looked like how many players I covered that signed big contracts in Sacramento as free agents, and we get 3 weeks into the season, we get 2 months into the season, you go, oh, he's never living up to that contract.
No, I get that. I follow. I'm with you. Tripping over a squirrel is really where I'm fixated right now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Is that a phrase you use?
No, a squirrel can dart out in front of you at any time. No, but like, I don't know. Banana peel? Would you rather I say they slipped on a banana peel?
Maybe this is up in the lakes where you live, that squirrels are just kamikaze tripping people right and left.
Do you have squirrels? So, I mean, like...
Yes, I have squirrels.
Okay, so I always feel like in the lake... Like you're always
a farm dog.
You come out and there's a squirrel, right? And he's darting in and out of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's done. Like that's his last day.
He's toast.
Whatever got in his little squirrely brain, he's done for the day.
Yeah.
He's done. Like that's it. So you'll come back through in the same path like 2 hours later, and sure enough, there he is.
There's
squirrel puppet.
Former squirrel.
Yeah, former squirrel.
Yo, hey, I'm so glad we're talking about not squirrels getting run over. What is it about deer?
Oh, deer are the stupidest things alive.
Bro, no, but when you're driving and you see a squirrel on the side of the road, you don't even think about it. You see a dog, you might be like, where's that dog's owner? You see a cat, you're just like, oh, there's a cat. You see a deer on the side of the road, at least for me and where I'm from, it is like, stop everything. And sure enough, today, I'm driving up 160, I'm coming through Locke. It's a little river town.
Okay.
And I come around this corner and there is this deer, antlers and everything, just standing on the side of the road. I turned my music off and I just like basked in the fact that I saw a deer. And I'm a couple miles up the road. I'm like, why do I care so much that I saw a deer? It's just a deer. It's just a short giraffe.
But
and I'm freaking out about it. Not freaking out like in a bad way, but just like, wow, that is so cool that I just saw such a majestic creature. That's a deer.
That,
there's millions of deer.
Kyle, my backyard is a soup kitchen. I got deer babies like nonstop all year long. Like it's ridiculous. I don't even want to know how many deer have been born in my backyard. So for me, I don't have any tie. The deers can go away. They eat my garden. They're in the, like, I do not stop. The only reason I would slow down is because the deer are so stupid that they're going to run out in front of me and total my car.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
I think that was part of the reason today, because the deer I saw, because it's very dark when I'm driving in, and then my headlights just came on it, and it was just like, bang.
There it is.
And it's like, man, if that was in the road, that's going to do some damage to my car. I mean, that was, and I think that was part of it, that I was like feeling lucky that it didn't jump out in front of me, but no, it was a beautiful creature, and deers are amazing. I love the soup kitchen reference. That was very, very good. I love that you have Dirty Mike and the boys or the deer that hang out behind your house.
Somehow we just blew through an entire segment talking about squirrels and deer.
Well, you said tripped over a squirrel, which is like a nutso thing to say.
A banana peel, whatever.
Yeah, like, slipped on a banana peel. That
hit
makes
their head,
sense.
They can't
That's
play basketball anymore.
That's a classic comedy slapstick trope,
I guess,
of failure. You slipped and fell on a banana peel. You get it. But Mario Kart, fine. Tripped on a squirrel? Nah. Eh. That's going to stick in my head.
All right.
Anyways.
It's happened. Just saying. Travis Outlaw, one of his nicknames, Mr. Fourth Quarter. Not in Sacramento, he wasn't. He never got to play in the fourth quarter. It was over
Mr.
long before then.
Fourth Quarter.
There was a time in his final season in Sacramento. Maybe it was his second to last season in Sacramento. He hadn't hit a three-pointer in like 29 consecutive games.
Good Lord.
And that's like... Before he came to Sacramento, he was a solid
decent three-point
shooter. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the NFL. Any surprises this weekend besides the Cowboys for you?
I was surprised the Eagles didn't put up more. Like,
the Cowboys face planting to me was kind of like, oh, okay. I'm surprised they got blown out this badly, but Cowboys face went. I thought for sure the Eagles were going to get to the postseason and have something. I didn't necessarily think they were going to win, but I thought they were going to have something for Tampa Bay, and they just had nothing. That was shocking to me.
Yeah, I think that was surprising. But outside of that, no. Like, most of the games, especially the AFC, went as they should have gone.
Yeah.
And again, I like that weather, I don't think, played all of the role. Because we talked about it last week. Like, I'm okay with, like, a week 13 weather game.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I don't want teams advancing into playoffs who have no business being there.
Sure.
Except for, like, a snowstorm came in and they just were a better team that day. Because to me, that doesn't set up for the best football.
I think the Miami-Kansas City game was probably impacted the most by the weather. But I don't think anyone walked into that game going, yeah, you know what? Miami's the better team here. I think the result was still how it probably should have gone.
Well, and if Miami didn't want to play in the cold weather, they probably should have just played better the last month of the season, and then they wouldn't have that issue.
Yeah, their injuries were a problem.
No, they were.
That was going to keep them from making any kind of real run anyways. It would have been fine if they beat Kansas City. But when you're that banged up, when you're signing veteran defensive ends off the street the week of your playoff game.
Oh, yeah, not good.
To start and, like, play a lot, that's not a great sign. So,
nope.
No, I'm with you. I love a bad weather game as much as the next guy, but if Pittsburgh had beaten the Bills in a blizzard because
they have...
There was a fumble that they returned.
Running backs that, like, are better in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, but I do love a snow game. Whew, boy, do I love a snow game.
Yeah. All right. I guess, you know, Kyle, the Texans beating the Browns. Like that? Like beating them like a drum?
Same. I mean, Browns' defense not having anything for Houston was pretty wild.
I think Flacco broke their spirit early, though, didn't he?
Well, they were up 14-10.
Yeah.
And then they made it 17-14, and then very rapidly a couple pick sixes kind of iced it.
Yeah.
But, right. Yeah, maybe it was that, but I thought Jim Schwartz was going to have some kind of curveball for CJ Stroud, and he just didn't. And Stroud just torched him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know what? We got to revisit Mad Props. Let's talk about the quarterbacks, because there's an interesting quarterback conversation here. And then I've got a banger of a Kevin Herter stat I want to lay on you at some point as well.
He's ready.
James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Good discussion going on in the chatty house. You can participate at youtube.com/ESPN1320. We are also streaming live on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Wherever you're listening, we appreciate you greatly. The chatty house is great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good questions in there.
Totally. We get a lot of people in there.
Yeah, a lot of people hanging out. If you're there, hit that little thumbs up. Hit the like button for us. If you're hanging out in the chatty house right now, we would appreciate that very much. Also, subscribe to the channel. If you don't do that at both Twitch and YouTube. You want to do Mad Props?
Yeah, let's do Mad Props.
All right, we can do Mad Props. Let's do that right now.
I do love when
it's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Sorry, what'd you say?
I love it when people walk in the door and then, like, stop to look at their phone right behind you. Like, they have no idea that they're literally being viewed by lots of people.
Can I keep it a stack for a second? Can I be, like, serious for a second?
Yeah.
All right, that's about that. I hate it.
Yeah?
Because in the reflection of my window, I can see it, and it's so distracting.
Oh, got
it. It's so distracting. I want to put a cover there so bad. Anyways.
We should do the big fat heads. Like, we
just
should,
of us?
Okay, that would be sick.
Yeah,
that would be sick.
Okay,
but either that or we could do like the catch, like Joe Montana on one, and Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone on the other.
I'm with it.
Yeah, as long as they're somewhat transparent.
Okay,
but that would knock the glare off, so you wouldn't see the people.
That would be preferred.
Okay,
I hate it so much.
All right.
Because I can tell if they're like looking at me.
We should work on this.
I agree. All right. We should also work on our bit. Okay, here we go. Mad props. We had to mix it up this week because there was no 49ers, which is usually the game we pull from for football. So we went one of each wildcard game. Let's start out in Detroit where we had Rams points against the Lions or De'Aaron Fox points. You had De'Aaron. I took the Rams. I win this one 23-21.
Aww.
This is the Kings game against the 76ers.
That does not bode well for me.
You'd have won that one if we had done the Bucks game.
Yes.
I believe De'Aaron had 26 against the Bucks. The next game, let's head down to Houston. C.J. Stroud passing yards against the Browns or Kings 76ers total points. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit in the last segment. The Browns did not have nearly the smoke for the Texans offense that I thought they were going to.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Stroud was going to get held in check a little bit. He did not. 274 passing yards for him.
Mm.
206 total points in Kings 76ers. We both took that Kings 76ers total. We both take a loss there.
Ew.
Yeah.
All right.
But we get back on track. CeeDee Lamb receiving yards in Dallas against the Packers or Kings total points against the 76ers. We both took CeeDee Lamb and we both get a win here. 110 yards for CeeDee Lamb, just 93 points for Sacramento against Philadelphia.
Oof. I thought CD would have a much better game than
me
that.
Too.
But I don't know. Ferguson stepped up. And then one of their other receivers broke 100 as well.
Yeah, I had the Kings in the like 120-ish range, and I had CD right about the same, but he goes for 110. Kings go for just 93, but we both get a win there. Dolphins rush attempts in Kansas City or Domantas Sabonis points, rebounds, and assists. Now, the Dolphins run game did not get off the ground the way I thought it was going to. I thought Mike McDaniel would have something for the Chiefs.
Mm.
Something creative, something fun. He did not. They fell behind. Negative game script. They only ran it 18 times. Luckily, you and I both took Domas. Points, rebounds, and assists. He had 31 compared to just 18 rush attempts for the Dolphins.
Yeah, McDaniel looked like he was just freezing cold and like couldn't function.
Could not wait to get out of there.
Yeah, no, it was like, let's get out of here and get back to the tropics.
Tough look for our Finns. Jalen Hurts completions last night in Tampa Bay or Malik Monk points against Philly. You took Monk points. You took Jalen Hurts completions. I took Malik Monk. Just 15 points for Malik Monk against Philly. 25 completions last night for Jalen Hurts. And again, game script certainly helped. They started out running the heck out of the ball. They fell behind. They started putting the ball in the air. And that led to an easy W for you. So we are tied with 3 wins each. We split the last one. 1 winner, 1 loser. Steelers points against the Bills or Keegan Murray made field goals. The Steelers actually did all right. 17 points.
Ooh.
Against the Bills. Now, keep in mind, I thought they were going to be playing in like a blizzard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was why I set this the way I did. Keegan Murray made field goals, just 6. You took the Steelers. I went with Keegan. You win that one. You get 4 right. I got 3 right. You are the big winner this week in Mad Props. Congratulations on the victory. That's big time. Crowd's going wild.
I win.
All right. And that's Mad Props.
That's Matt Props.
Thanks, everybody. If you want to sponsor that, let us know. rich.ripley@odyssey.com. If you have a business and you want to sponsor Matt Props.
That's right. I love
Matt Props. We'll continue doing this throughout not only the football season, but we will do this. We start getting creative with it once football season ends. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways.
We need to have a bunch of t-shirts made. Like, there's all kinds of things that we do here that we need t-shirts made.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get on that.
I will.
We were talking a little bit about the quarterbacks last segment. It's so funny the contrast between the AFC quarterbacks and the NFC quarterbacks left. Because in the AFC, it is Lamar Jackson, about to be a 2-time MVP.
Mm-hmm.
It is Patrick Mahomes, a 2-time MVP? Is he won just one?
No, Mahomes, that I believe.
He's an MVP with multiple Super Bowls already.
Yes.
Josh Allen, who is in that top tier of NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and then CJ Stroud, who may not be there yet because he's a rookie, but for me, he is on the way there. And if he backs up his rookie season with another good year next year, he'll be right there. I'm not sure there's a young quarterback in the league that I would rather have right now than CJ Stroud. Then you go to the NFC, where you have Brock Purdy, final pick of the draft 2 years ago. You have Jared Goff, former number one pick in the draft, who got discarded by the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
to go to Detroit. You have Baker Mayfield, former number one pick, who is now on his fourth team.
Something like that.
Browns, Panthers, Rams, Bucks. Yeah.
Yep.
On his fourth team. And then you have Jordan Love, who was drafted 26th overall in the 2020 draft, finally got to be the starter this year, goes and blows up in his first playoff game and carries the Packers to a victory over the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the NFC is all question marks and the AFC is all like, yeah, that's a guy I would like to have on my team. It's really funny, the juxtaposition between the two.
Yeah, I think that the Niners are in a good place when it comes to that, when we look at all the totality of the quarterbacks. Like, mm-hmm. I remember there was such a huge disparity a few years ago when Jimmy Garoppolo was your quarterback and Ryan Tannehill was in the playoffs with Tennessee, and you got to the final eight, and it was like Tom Brady, I think Matthew Stafford, but then the AFC was like, you know, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes,
Josh Allen.
Like, yeah. Clearly the 49ers had the seventh best quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and only ahead of Tannehill. Now at this point, I think you might have the fourth or fifth best quarterback. I don't know.
I think, so all the AFC guys, I'm taking over Purdy. And I don't even like, I understand if somebody wants to quibble with Stroud. But
I think it's like a coin flip this year with Stroud.
They've been full-time starters the same amount of time.
Yeah.
I'm taking CJ Stroud over Purdy personally. And then like Jordan Love has been really good for the second half of the year. He's 21 touchdowns, one interception since week 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see some of the throws he made and some of the plays he made against Dallas, some of the off-platform stuff and the downfield throws he was making into tight windows. Going into the playoffs, I would have been like, Brock Purdy, no question. After watching Jordan Love in a playoff game, it's a question for me.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm on the fence. I'll put Purdy ahead of him for now. Like, let's see what Jordan Love looks like against the 49ers in the divisional round. But man, if he lights up San Francisco, it's not a question. I'm taking Jordan Love.
Okay.
I'm taking the physical talent every time.
I get that. I would say, though, like C.J. Stroud this season, 4,108 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Like, Brock Purdy's stats are much better. He led his team to a 9-6 record.
Come on. Let's do context.
No, I get it. Like, you have better weapons?
Way better.
Yeah, but it's not like they don't have weapons. They have weapons.
They have Nico Collins.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
Tank Dell's a good player.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz is a good player.
He's
like,
fine.
They don't have the running back for sure.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
He turned Noah Brown into like a 150-yard receiver back-to-back weeks.
Totally. Hey, look, I'm not saying. I think C.J. Stroud is like the future of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. But as of today,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'd take Purdy.
It's close.
I don't know. It's a coin flip.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield looked really good last night.
I'm not taking Baker Mayfield. I mean, like, you have to go off some track record.
Baker looked good last night.
Yeah. Mahomes is a 2-time MVP.
Yeah.
6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All Pro, and he's 28. 2-time Super Bowl champ.
The Hall of Famer if he hangs him up tomorrow.
Yeah, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. It's 2-time Super Bowl MVP.
It's
yeah.
Crazy.
He good.
All right. Let's shift gears. Let's hit the Kings. We got to hit a break. I have a Kevin Huerter stat that I want to throw at you that I think makes me not want to trade him. And I'll tell you why.
I've been on the Insiders waiting for this.
I got you. It's all coming right up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, that's James. Hey, I don't think I want to trade Kevin Herter anymore.
All right.
I've been all aboard, like, take his $15 million and ship it out. Get a team to buy into a 25-year-old 40% career 3-point shooter and call it good. However, the other night against the Bucks, the Kings did not win, obviously, but they probably should have. They were a couple of free throws away down the stretch from winning that game. And now the Kings, save for that game this year, well, no, not save for that game, including that game this year. The Kings are 6-2 when Kevin Herter scores more than 15 points. That's a 750 winning percentage. They're 17-14 when he scores fewer than that. That's a 548 winning percentage.
Yeah, but Kyle, we're 40 games into the season.
And he's very clearly figuring it out.
He's got 8 games where he scored 15 or more?
Yeah, he's struggled. That's fine.
Struggle bus done run him over.
I know it did, but now he's bouncing back.
I hope so.
He had 26 the other night. Excuse me. Nay. Yes, 26 the other night with 10 rebounds against Milwaukee. It's 1-point overtime loss. It's just really clear. And I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm prisoner of the moment here. But when it's something that drastic, like their offense looked like their offense the other night because of Kevin Herter.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you remove that element and remove that possibility, I don't know who you're replacing him with that allows your offense to elevate to that level. I don't.
No, I'm with you. I get what you're saying. They don't have another player that can do what he does. I totally get it. My problem is, and again, like I like Kevin, and he was really good last season, but he showed signs that he can't do it when it matters. He can't figure it out.
The playoff track record isn't great.
We've watched 25 games here where he has not been able to figure it out. And I feel for him because I think he's a very good NBA player and he has a skill set that's really, really marketable and tradable and everything else. But like, look, if you disappear for stretches and you just can't find the bucket, I mean, talk about streaky. Mm-hmm. We talked about, like, at the beginning of this year, they need to iron out some of the crazy all-over-the-board stuff. That's not what's happened. The peaks and valleys have gotten bigger for him.
And so do you think it's addition by subtraction then? Just taking out that volatility will help stabilize things?
Well, I mean, I think, like, if you look at a guy like Trey Lyles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lyles is like Steady Eddie. Like every time you get, but, or like just to take it to the next level, look at how stable Sabonis is, right? Mm-hmm. And you just need players around him that can be somewhat stable. We've talked about this with like, I know this weird with like fantasy football. It's when I go and I look at fantasy football and I'm going to draft, right? Mm-hmm. I'm of course going to have my haymakers, right? I'm going to take some gambles here and there.
Yeah.
But in my rounds that matter, I look at players, and you can look at, let's say, 8 different players that have 8 receiving touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go in and I look at those 8 players, how they scored those touchdowns. And for me, like watching CeeDee Lamb this year, who ends up with 14 touchdowns, he had 2 touchdowns one time all season.
Yeah.
He also had 1 touchdown in like 11 or 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
I want that guy on my team, because even the 1 week that he didn't have a touchdown out of like the last 9, he had 180 yards receiving.
Right.
Like, so the stability of that player, like for when I'm building my roster, I want players like that. What I don't want is I can have an Achane on my roster, but how many times this year did he have 3 touchdowns and then nothing for 3 weeks and then 3 touchdowns and nothing?
Like, yeah, he was pretty banged up.
It's really difficult to be a consistent winning team if that's, again, what your starting shooting guard is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin has to figure it out, and it's on him. I thought last year he was really good all season, except for that middle stretch where for like 6 weeks he really struggled, and then you get to the playoffs and he vanished completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might be able to give him one more season to see if he figures out, and by that one season I mean this year.
Mm-hmm.
But when he showed you what he showed you in the playoffs, and then he has that same 6 to 8 week stretch in season, that's really, really tough to build around.
Yeah, and I think this gets back to, as well, we were talking at the break in the chatty house about if you had to trade one of Herter or Barnes, which one would you move? And I think for me, I'm probably keeping Kevin Herter out of the two.
Yeah, because he's 25.
He's 25, but the problem comes in that if you're making a deal, he's probably the more valuable trade chip.
Yeah, I would say
young. He's a career 40% 3-point shooter.
People are going to look at his season this year and throw it away.
Yeah.
Like they'll be able to fix whatever's happening.
Right.
People are going to look at Harrison Barnes and say, okay, there's
the potential
that he's on the downswing and this is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also think, like, if you don't put him next to the best rebounder in the NBA, he might average more than, like, 2.5 rebounds per game. I mean, it's just who he has been. But for him to take, like, such a dip this season and have it be, like, unexplainable, that's a problem to me.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, again, he wasn't a bad rebounder last year. You wanted more out of him, but it started in February where he stopped rebounding and he started doing the 1 to 2 rebounds a game. And so maybe it's at where the Kings put him on the court. Maybe it's that he feels like he can't go rebound from that position. But for a guy to go from 6.6 to 5.6 to 4.5 to 2.8 rebounds.
Ooh, that's a trend.
In the last 3 years, 4 years. Yeah, 6.66, 5.6, 4.5, 2.8. That's a trend. And that's not good. And especially when.
And that's I'm sorry, that type of dip is not because Domantas Sabonis is vacuuming up all the rebounds.
No.
That is a concerted lack of effort to me.
I think the last...
On the glass. The not last, saying Harrison Barnes didn't try.
The last 2 years, I mean, going from 5.6 to 4.5 and 2.8, I mean, those are with Sabonis versus without Sabonis, because Sabonis played 15 games a year before.
Mm-hmm.
So you are seeing like a decline. But the thing I would point to, the things that kind of say, I'm not sure if he's declining... 39.1% from 3, 39.4, 37.4 last year, which was a down year, 39.9 again this year.
Sure.
So, like, he's still shooting it. He's still, like, solid in the things that he's been solid at. His steals, 0.7, 0.7, 0.7, 0.7 the last 4 years. But it's the rebound numbers that, like, really, really stand out. And then I think the defensive metrics by this point prove out that, like, he's just not being able to stay in front of his man.
Yeah.
I haven't looked recently, but I'm going to guess that, like, it's becoming a bigger problem than it was before.
Yeah, I just think they can get more out of the position than hang out in the corner and shoot some threes. and then be switchable on defense.
Okay, but Kyle, I would make the point that if that's what Harrison Barnes is, that's fine. But you can find better versions, better defensive versions
that's
of Harrison
mean.
Barnes. Yeah.
So, if you're going to hang out in the corner and just shoot threes offensively, that's fine. And that's probably what they need. But then defensively, you need to offer more than he does.
Exactly.
Being switchable isn't enough.
No.
Being
no.
able to theoretically guard 2 through 5 is great. But in practice, it hasn't been working.
Yeah.
And if they were a top flight defensive team and he was just kind of the focal point of that, then you can absolutely live with less than 3 boards a game. And he's going to knock, some nights he's going to knock down 3 or 4 threes, and other nights he's going to be absent on offense.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's not, he's not, and this is why it's tough. He's not the reason that, oh, hey, they're getting blown out a lot because of this.
Yeah.
He's not the reason that I don't think that the Kings can't win a title with this group. It's not like strictly his fault.
No. But I would
just
say
think they need to get better there.
I would say
more
that
effective.
There's 20 games this year. You know, like look at almost every single one of the blowouts. Every single one of the blowouts, you get pretty consistent numbers still. Fox has had a couple of bad games and blowouts, Sabonis, but it's still the same group: Sabonis, Fox, Murray, and Monk. And then you're getting nothing out of your 2 and your 3 in those games.
Yeah.
And that's a problem where you're like, they just aren't effective. And I don't know how else to, like, whether you run more plays for them. And I know Mike says, I don't run plays for players, but you got to figure out ways to get those guys involved.
Yeah. And if that's, I mean, okay, Mike Brown doesn't run plays for players, but dude, if that's what it takes to get Harrison Barnes engaged, then do it. Like, if that's what it takes to get Kevin Huerter rolling, then do I that's, seems like a really small adjustment. Like, what's it? Phil Jackson would always make sure that off the bat, like, his center got a touch right away.
Yeah.
And making sure that, hey, whether it's Bill Cartwright or whoever, I don't know, but making sure that the center gets a touch early to keep them engaged. That's the whole philosophy of Steve Kerr and now Mike Brown. Like, everybody's touching the ball always. Everybody's always got to be ready. And that's awesome. But on this team, it's that possession is more times than not going to end with De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk when he's on the court.
No, totally. Like I totally agree.
Get Harrison Barnes some early touches then. Draw something up for him if you need to. I don't know, man.
Kyle, I would say the other problem I have,
like we're trying to solve a problem that there's no real solution for.
No, I get you, but I would even, if you're going to have games where you start Chris Duarte, and, you know, again, he had like a 5-game stretch there, I need them to invert their positions, and I need Harrison Barnes to be the guy in the 2-man game, not Chris Duarte. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with Chris Duarte being a catch-and-shoot shooter from the corner and every once in a while taking somebody off the dribble and they overcommit on a closeout.
Sure.
Right? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who he should not be in a 2-man game. That, like, to me,
he dribbles a lot.
Yeah, they're trying to do something that they use Huerter for when Barnes is the replacement. Barnes is the guy who can do that.
Yeah.
And he can get downhill and he can make the pass and he can hit the 3-ball.
Yeah.
He's just a more secure player. And so when they do make that move where they're using a defensive-minded player in Duarte, I would just like to see more of Harrison Barnes engaged in the offensive side of the ball. Don't leave him in the corner because I just don't think that's your best use for the guy. So, I mean, he still has a lot of game as an offensive player.
Yeah, I think that's what's frustrating is you see it.
Like, yeah, he shows flashes where it's like, hey, look, there he is.
Yeah, a couple possessions a game, and you're like, oh, man, okay, Harrison Barnes is in it. And then you won't see him the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. You want to get to keys for tonight?
Yeah, let's do it.
Keys to a Kings victory. The Kings looking to close out their 5-game road trip with a win. They are 2-2 so far on the trip, looking to finish it out with a winning record. And they've already won the season series over the Suns, right?
No, because the season series got extended.
Oh, yeah.
They have 5 games against the Suns, so they're 2-0. This is an opportunity to go 3-0 and
win
the but they also have 3 opportunities to get that third win.
Yeah, and just so the context here, the Suns are only 2 games back of the Kings, and the Suns are currently the 8th seed.
Mm,
so this would be a pretty big win to try and get some space between the Kings and the play-in tournament. James, what is your first key to a Kings victory?
Fox and Monk need to atone. Like, realistically, you had 2 of your best players miss three free throws in the final 18 seconds. You lost by 1 point.
Yep.
And they need to show up. They need to finish this road trip the right way, and they need to atone for what happened on the court.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to. This is when you're playing against stars like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal's been really good, by the way, since he's been back on the court. Your stars need to also step up. So I'm right there with you. My first one, Kevin Huerter's got to get hot.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be, hey, he had 26 against Milwaukee, and now he's back to going 0-for-6. No, he needs to get and stay hot. What's number two for you?
Let Domas feast. This is a team that you should be able to like highlight him a lot, and he's been on a tear. It's just been absolutely incredible. But the Kings need to make sure that against Nurkic, get Nurkic in foul trouble. He's physical. He wants to push you around. Get him in foul trouble. Get him off the court, and let Sabonis get to the bucket.
Just don't punch him in the face. Number two, contain Book. The Suns are 10-5 when he scores 28 or more, and they are 11-13 when he doesn't.
Oh,
so contain Devin Booker if you're gonna pick one guy to shut the faucet off.
Yeah, and the Kings have done a nice job on Booker this season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
throw a bunch of different bodies at him.
My third one, finish the trip the right way. There's three blowouts and an overtime loss in the first four games of the trip. Mm-hmm. The Kings, of course, had two blowouts, and then they got blown out, and then the overtime loss. You got an opportunity here to finish a trip that included stops in Philly, Milwaukee, and Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
with a winning record, a 3-2 record.
Yeah,
and you got to put it all on the line here, and I like that Mike Brown's going with a shorter bench.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Treat it like a playoff game. Why not?
Yeah.
All right, last one for me, run. The Suns don't like to run. They will kill you in the half court. So I want to get out and see the Kings run tonight. That's it for Keys to Victory. If the Kings do all those things, they're going to win. Book it. Let's welcome in Kenny Caraway for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, the KC of D'Lo and KC. Kenny, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just trying to figure out why Steve Ballmer decided to do this press conference inside or something. Like, you could have done it on
he's wearing a
outside.
Helmet.
Guy's wearing a helmet and everything because it's a construction zone. I mean, just do it outside. Just do it at the headquarters. Why? This is going to live forever, Steve. This is going to live forever.
Is Steve Ballmer the weirdest rich guy? Like, public rich guy? I'm sure there's some super weird. Is he the weirdest NBA owner? Let me put it that way.
Well, there's some pretty weird NBA owners.
There are some pretty weird NBA owners. I just don't know that Steve Ballmer's ever watched Spaceballs, because that's what looks like what's happening. Like,
I can't see what's happening.
I'm sorry. I got distracted.
He's wearing a
that's fine. Yeah,
he's at a
white
press
helmet
conference for
that
the
says Steve Ballmer.
For the All-Star, the announcement of them getting the All-Star game in 2026.
Right.
He's got the construction vest on.
Great.
With the construction helmet on, because they decided to do the press conference in the construction space of the Intuit Dome instead of just going outside where you don't have to wear any of this stuff.
I would also say it's not a standard, like, hard hat.
Yeah, he's got straps underneath.
It looks like a bike helmet.
That's
that he's
exactly
wearing. It looks like he's
like one you wear rock climbing.
It looks like he might go rappelling after this, but no, it's got no ear flaps at all.
And
so
he's just talking to us, just talking like, yeah, like a CEO does. Like, this is just great. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a
I actually
weird,
like Steve
what an
Ballmer,
interesting
though,
guy.
From what I hear.
He
I,
is an
I
interesting like cat. So, yeah.
I think he wants to win.
He definitely wants
to
win.
And honestly, that's I respect that more than anything with the with the team owner. Good weekend for the Niners?
An excellent weekend for the Niners.
How come?
An excellent weekend for the Niners. Now, you got to play the games, right? There goes Steve Ballmer at the press conference. For those watching on YouTube right now, the man is just doing his thing right now. Shout out Steve Ballmer. But look, you gotta play the games, right? You have to play the games. You have to execute. You have to do what you have to do. However, if we were all being like transparent and just said after week 18, write down the most favorable scenario you could think of for the Niners to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It would be eliminating the Eagles, eliminating the Cowboys, and eliminating the Rams.
Yeah.
It all happened in one weekend. Man. So yes, great weekend. Great weekend.
There's a free way to the Super Bowl.
My only, here's my, you guys know me. You know how I roll.
Yep.
Here's my quibble.
Quibble me this. Go ahead.
Green Bay looked really good against Dallas, and I'm fully aware that Dallas stinks, bro. Like Mike McCarthy needs to be jettisoned to Neptune, but I understand that. But Green Bay, especially defensively, I thought looked really, really good against Dallas.
Well, Dallas also doesn't have a run game.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Achilles heel, one of the Achilles heel for this this Green Bay defense is against the run.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw somewhere they gave up 200 yards on the ground four times this year, and that feeds right into what Kyle Shanahan wants to do.
Yeah.
I got respect for the way Green Bay played. I got respect for Matt LaFleur. I think he's a heck of a coach.
LaFleur is a very good coach.
I think we need to start giving him the respect that he deserves around the league. Jordan Love looked good. I've always liked Aaron Jones. But, hey, if the Niners take care of it, if they don't turn the ball over, I'll put it to you like this, they're covering.
Mm.
Really? The 10?
Absolutely.
Man.
If they don't turn the ball over, they're covering rather easily.
Yeah, the Packers, just to your point here, KC, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games of 140 rushing yards or more by the opponent.
Oof.
And the Cowboys didn't have they didn't have the coach, they didn't have the quarterback, and they didn't have the running game to expose that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things wrong with the Cowboys.
Everything for me with the 49ers comes down to game script.
Mm-hmm.
If they get ahead, I don't know if there's a team that can beat them.
Yeah.
But if they fall behind, I don't know how confident I am that they're going to beat anybody.
The other thing about Saturday that seems like it might play into the hands of the 49ers and the way they play football is the weather conditions may be a little mucky.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you're talking about who's going to do better in that type of game, I think the 49ers with their run game would be in favor. Everything favors the 49ers, every single thing. The conditions, the short week, the talent. Mm. Everything favors the 49ers. They just got to go out there and execute.
They're gonna have the bye week, extra rest over the Packers, who, like you said, are playing on a quote unquote short week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also, if they beat Green Bay and go to the NFC title game, they will have a rest advantage there because the team they'll play is going to be playing Sunday to Sunday instead of Saturday to Sunday. So there'll be an extra day there.
It's all right.
Not that I think that matters that much, but it goes to show to me, like, bro. I have never felt in a year like, man, you know what? The Niners are definitely the best team.
Mm.
And this year in the NFC, they certainly are. And I think them and Baltimore are in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be the one that, like, if they lose this one.
I'm telling you, I've been saying it for months. I'll be hurt. Yeah. I'd be hurt if they did not win the Super Bowl this year. I'd be hurt.
He's already put it on his Super Bowl jacket.
I'm telling you, man. I'd be hurt.
This
man.
Is a 17.
This one technically doesn't count just yet because those are usually like games, like championship game, Super Bowl. So they haven't gotten there yet. But if I want to take it a step further, I could say another plus for the 49ers is getting the Browns out of here. Because the whole thing was Schwartz and Kenny.
Yeah, it's a great point.
So getting
point.
Him out of there, it's another opportunity. I mean, it was a great weekend for the 49ers.
I root so hard for D'Amico Ryans.
I think I love D'Amico. The best Me case too. Scenario,
Ball
too,
game for life.
If they can get the Chiefs to fall, then you're going in against teams that like maybe don't have. I would point out to Kyle, since you're not watching, the next two people to take the podium at this Clippers All-Star weekend, they are not wearing helmets. The next two people have shunned the helmet look. They want to look presentable for national television. They are not wearing helmets. Good for them.
When you have
that's so funny.
$40 billion, who cares about being presentable?
I guess.
I barely care about being presentable, and I don't have $40. So I totally... If I was that rich, you couldn't tell me anything. You would not be able to tell me a thing.
I would tell you to stop rubbing my thighs when the Clippers score. I would tell you that.
He does some strange thing.
You ain't seen Steve Ballmer? Yeah, he does that. Like, the guys next to him, I don't even know if he knows these people. Like, he gets hyped and starts rubbing their thigh. Bruh, get your hands off my leg.
Yeah, no, that's not okay. That's not okay. You would be able to tell me to stop doing that if I was touching your thigh.
Stop touching me. We don't touch other people's thighs.
That's, you know what? That's one of the very, that's the core tenet of this show.
We don't touch other people's privates.
And on that note, we're going to hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. They're coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.